Welcome to the most listened to golf in the world, the Fairways of Life show, on air, online, and around the world. With the most candid interviews, unforgettable stories, taking you beyond the ropes. Here's your host, New York Times best-selling author and Golf Channel's Matt Adams.
Welcome into the Fairways of Life show. Delighted to have your company, folks, from wherever you are joining us. Now, I know for many of you, you have been experiencing absolutely horrific winter weather over the last week or so. So we are here, as you just saw with that opening shot, in paradise, not to inspire envy, but very much to inspire want. There's a very specific reason that we are here this week and very excited to feature it for you. We're here for the 2024 PGA Tour Superstore Training Summit. This is an opportunity for all of us that are here to be trained on the new equipment that will, of course, define the year that will be in that which the season lies ahead of us. I know the PGA show coming up in just a few days is when the rest of the world gets to see it. But this is an illustration of what I'm always telling you about the PGA Tour Superstore, right? It is where you can shop with the pros. And when you see the effort that the PGA Tour Superstore makes to train their own associates, everyone you see in this video are their associates coming from all over the country so that they truly understand this new equipment. They will be the first to hit it. They will be the first to train on it so that when you come into the stores, you can be amongst the first in your golfing group to have this new great equipment. Their theme this year is Game Changers 24. Now, the days leading into, it's hard goods right now. That's what I'm here for. You can see some of the tents behind me on the driving range where the hitting is going on and the training will be going on. But it was apparel leading into this. And it was all the top apparel brands that you can imagine in the golf industry. Jay Lindberg, Ralph Lauren, Under Armour, G4, Johnny O, amongst those. And that apparel is not only golf. It also includes tennis. It also includes pickleball. It also includes footwear and more. Now, as to the equipment side, which is where I really get fired up, it's my favorite thing. You can imagine the people that are here. There's more than 40 vendors all told at this PGA Tour Superstore training summit. On that equipment side, yeah, Callaway, TaylorMade, Titleist, Ping, Mizuno, Cobra, Wilson, Bettinardi, just amongst those that will be here and training one-on-one with everyone that is in attendance. It is an incredible effort that the PGA Tour Superstore makes, and we very much want you to be aware of the depth of effort that they make so that they are ready when you're ready to take a look at new equipment for the season that lies in store. Whatever it is, it may be, you think about it, it may be a fitting for your putter. Have you got a putter fitting yet? Have you got a wedge fitting yet? In fact, have you been fit for your irons or your driver for that matter? You can do it all at the PGA Tour Superstore. And the beauty of it is whether you swing it, whether you need to learn from it, or whether you wear it upon your body, you can find it all at the PGA Tour Superstore and more. So that's why we're here. And yes, we're very, very excited about it. Indeed. Now, the golf that took place last week was quite distinctive. Rory McIlroy, who started out a tear at the Dubai Invitational, ultimately lost to Tommy Fleetwood. How did he do it? Well, he did it with a three-putt from 2 feet that caused quite a bit of attention on social media and more. And Tommy Fleetwood, completely to his credit, after Rory hit it into the penalty area off the 18th tee, Tommy Fleetwood birdied that hole to win by one. So let's start with Rory McIlroy with what I just told you and more. Do you measure the week by what you failed to do or by how close you came?
I think for first week back out, yeah, it was a really positive week. You know, if I'm looking back on today, I hit a tee shot in the water with an iron on the front nine, had that three putt from 3 feet on the par three, and then, you know, the water ball in the last. So, you know, I think, you know, first week back out, I think you're going to expect some of those sloppy mistakes. And unfortunately for me, those mistakes came at the wrong time today. But, I'll reflect on it and learn from today. And there was still a lot of good stuff in there, but just need to tidy up some of the edges. And if I do that, you know, I feel good going into next week. Just sort of more the shots I'm comfortable with. You know, I tried to hit a tee shot on the last that I probably wanted to hit it different shot because that was what was most comfortable, but I tried to go with the shot that I feel like I should hit. And then I wanted to try to turn one over because it was the only way I was going to be able to carry the bunker on the right too. So just a bad swing at the end there. And then just again, just a little sloppy, a lack of concentration with a tee shot on six into the water. And then the same thing with the putt on 13 or on 14 as well. So just a couple little mental errors in there that, you know, hopefully I'll clean up for next week. Yeah, it was a great day. It was a bit back and forth. I went three behind after 10 and then made three birdies in a row and on 11, 12 and 13 to get back tied for the lead. And then, yeah, I mean, look, I'm really happy for Tommy. It's, you know, he's played some incredible golf for the last year without actually getting a win. You know, so for him to get the win here is great for him. It'll do his confidence a world of good, and you know, hopefully he kicks on from it. But it was a good battle out there, and hopefully I have many more with him this year and for the years ahead.
It was certainly entertaining.
Yeah, I can definitely it was not easy. That.
As to Rory McIlroy and the talk about Rory three putting from inside of 3 feet. I think the first thing we have to do is be fair to Rory McIlroy. I know in some ways people looked at that and said, is this the rearing up of Rory having trouble with the flat stick once again? In fairness to Rory, take in this stat. That three putt, again, was from just outside of 2 feet, but inside of the 3 feet range. He was, for 2023, 632 for 634 attempts. And that was from 3 feet or closer, meaning that Rory McIlroy was 99.68% as his rate. There you can see the leaderboard alongside me with Tommy Fleetwood finishing one stroke in front of McIlroy and Lawrence, both on 18 under par. Francesco Molinari had a hole-in-one in a really good week, finishing on 15 under par. Perhaps he is finding his form again as we enter into 2024. He who definitely had his form was Tommy Fleetwood, who had to enjoy the battle with Rory McIlroy. Here he is following.
Yeah, it's great. I think, that winning feeling is amazing. And it's been a really cool week. Felt like I played better and better throughout the week. Had a great day yesterday, and then today, playing with Rory and coming down the stretch in contention and trying to win a golf tournament was really, really cool. And it's been nice, you know, being back in Dubai for the start of the year. It's always very special when you play with you know, one of your friends, one of the best players in the world, challenging yourself against those guys. I think, like I said just before, Rory's been a very, very supportive influence on me. You know, over the past, you know, since I've known him really, but in particular, you know, since we've been close, and I've watched him do amazing things down the stretch in golf tournaments, and today was my turn. But yeah, being out there with him, somebody you're comfortable with and somebody that you can really, you know, strive to achieve, you know, half of what he's done in his career was great. And yeah, that's what we want to do as players, you know, play against the best players in the world and see how your game holds up. Well, I was playing really, really well. I think the front nine in particular, there was times where it was frustrating. I actually putted well on the front nine, and I lipped out a couple of times with good putts that, you know, very shallow putts that I slightly misread. There was another couple of chances on top of that. But overall, I was playing very, very good, and I sort of, even after 10, felt like I was playing well enough to kick on, but didn't. So it was just a case of staying patient. Rory played amazing on the back nine. He was so aggressive. He made so many birdies. And yeah, like, especially after 16, I think still on that 17th tee, it was frustrating to then, you know, be all of a sudden be one behind when you've led all day. But happy with how I sort of trusted myself, happy with my attitude. I think that's something that's very important. And yeah, just, you know, the last two holes, it came down to those, and then to finish those birdie feels great. But you know, just happy with how I handled myself all day, really. Yeah, one of the hardest things to do. I think the closer you get to the finishing line, it's easy to predict things, easy to tell yourself what you might need to do, what other people might do. Like I say, I was playing very solid. I even hit a pretty good iron shot into 16, and it seems like it took a firm bounce and went over the back. And then my short game, which had been so good all week, just a bit of a clumsy chip, missed the putt. But just keep playing, just keep going. And you never know. I've had plenty of times where somebody has, you know, finished well against me when I've not quite done enough. And today it was just, you know, my turn to walk through the door today.
And it was, you know, just one of those things. But like, you learn every time you play, good, bad, whatever it is. You always should learn every time you play. And the more you put yourself in these positions, you keep figuring out who you want to be as a player when you're out there, what attitude you want to have, how you want to play, and you just work towards that. And today was a good day for me. Winning is very, you know, it's important. It's a great feeling. Gives you confidence to know you can do it the next time you're in contention as well. I think, again, I said it before, if I win, lose or draw today, I've been doing the right things for a while now, and I've been building on a lot of consistency. And whatever happened today, I was going to wake up tomorrow and I was going to do the same things and keep building. And that's what's important to me. But, you know, winning, it's, you know, important wherever you are in the world, that winning feeling. You get a sniff of that and you keep pushing towards that, and it feels great to start the year with a win again.
I think the how that Tommy Fleetwood did it is so important in this, because not only in the final round, but even the day before that, Tommy Fleetwood kept answering Rory McIlroy. It became a point, especially in the back nine that he was referencing, where it was a punch-counter-punch affair. It was a heavyweight bout because there were many, many birdies thrown at him, and Tommy hung in there. And again, Tommy to birdie the last to take down Rory McIlroy by one, even after Rory had trouble. Remember, Rory had a one-stroke lead into that hole. So for Tommy to do what he did, it begs the question, is this that level of confidence that he's referring to, the building that he was just talking about, that could lead him to victory as well on the PGA Tour when he tees it up there as well. We are not done. When we come back, we're going to tee up a World Golf Hall of Famer, Phil Mickelson, with some very interesting comments coming to us from the Pat McAfee Show, where you're going to watch Phil. I've told you many times, Phil's an incredibly intelligent guy. Watch the way his brain worked through all of this. That coming up as we broadcast to you live from the 2024 PGA Tour Superstore Training Summit after this.
Relax.
Easy now. Find your happy place. The PGA Tour Superstore. It's all in the hips. Where every swing is possible. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find all the latest gear, apparel, and personalized club fittings.
Is this goodbye?
We've only just begun.
Shop with the pros at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
In Ireland, golf is more than just a game. Come and experience our world-famous Lynx courses and our world-famous Parkland courses, all set alongside world-famous scenery. And visit our world-famous historic sites. And while you're here, enjoy our world-famous hospitality. Fill your heart with Ireland at ireland.com/golf.
It screams. It tracks. It's soft. It reacts. It is the Bridgestone Tour B, with a game-changing reactive cover designed to spring faster off your driver and stick longer to your wedges. Try Bridgestone's Tour Bs, the Tour Ball reinvented.
The Gen 6 iron is a culmination of everything that we have learned as a team, the absolute best golf club I've ever hit. It's something special. Say hello to the new PXG Gen 6 iron. The longest, most accurate irons we've ever made. They go higher and farther than any iron that I have hit to date, and they're so easy to hit. Super excited for the consumer to try this. They're gonna love them.
PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Baseball? Nah. Football? Done it. I think I'm gonna go after the PGA Tour.
Bo, you're gonna need the right equipment company.
I think I got that.
You know, Tour Edge backs all their clubs with a lifetime warranty.
I know.
They ship all their premium custom clubs in 48 hours.
I know.
All their premium clubs are hand-built in the USA.
I know.
You know, Tour Edge has won 35 times out here.
Guys, I know.
Pound for pound, nothing comes close.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to BoyneGolf.com. Welcome back to the Fairways of Life show. Pleasure to have your company as we broadcast live from the 2024 PGA Tour Superstore Training Summit. I cannot wait to get out there and get a firsthand look at all of the new equipment that will be coming into the industry. The theme here is Game Changers 2024, and these are literally the game changers for you as the staff from across the country are getting trained in that and more. So you heard me mention before the break that Phil Mickelson was on Pat McAfee's show on ESPN. Pat McAfee, a former NFL player, he hosts a show that is wildly popular where he is surrounded by experts in the world of sport and specifically in the world of football. But when it comes to golf, I don't expect that Pat McAfee will be an expert. But because of the platform, because of who he is, because it's on ESPN, you're going to be able to get the likes of Phil Mickelson. And as I've mentioned to you previously, Phil Mickelson is so smart. He has this ability to understand what he wants to say. And in the political season they're in right now, you'll also notice that the best of the best have the ability to answer a question that they want to answer. It's not necessarily always the question that they get asked, but there is the element of, well, I want to start with some courtesy as to the interview. That's a matter of respect, right? But then I want to go down this particular road. So the first thing that I want you to see at the start of this interview is the way that you could tell that Phil Mickelson was processing what he was asked and how he turned that into the answer that he wanted to make. If I had to summarize the question from Pat McAfee, I believe what he was trying to ask in this question was, what is the ROI plan for LIV? What is the long-term plan of how and where and when you can expect a return on the money that it has cost to set up everything they have so far?
When we have the ability to control the product, meaning LIV knows what they are selling and you know what you're buying as a sponsor, we are now integrating golf on a global scale and we're going to different countries and utilizing tourism budgets to get us there. So the reason we're going to Hong Kong is they are paying an exorbitant amount of money to bring professional golf at the highest level there. And they're using the tourism budget to do that. We were not supposed to go back to Singapore this year. And then the tourism board at Singapore gets involved. And I'm talking tens of millions, not just a million or two. So when we started out at LIV, yeah, we had to pay for sites because it was controversial and there were threats against us not to be involved with us and so forth. But now these countries are using tourism dollars to get us to go there because of the impact we're having on their economy. And so it's as much to cover the entire purse. So to not see this opportunity is short-sighted. This is an area of monetary opportunity that we've never had in golf, because we've never controlled the product and be able to sell something tangible. There's too much uncertainty. So will it be profitable? I think it's going to be profitable a lot sooner than you think, especially as we start working together, all professional golf, and we stop having these kind of threats and trying to suppress our product and our TV opportunities and our sponsors. When we start working together as we are starting to, and I think John Rahm signing is really being used as a bridge to bring these sides together, realizing that LIV isn't going away, that this is going to be a staple, and that if we compete, we're going to be competing against each other for television dollars and sponsorship dollars and so forth, rather than working together and create the best product for the fans and as well as sponsors and the best opportunities for the players. So we're starting to work together. John Rahm's been a huge impetus in this, and this is going to open up markets, just like I mentioned, tourism dollars, not to mention global companies that are outside the U.S. that are very large, that want to get involved and use golf as a way to bring in clients together and promote their brand. So there's incredible opportunities. It will be profitable very quickly, and building equity in a brand and bringing a team aspect, although it's difficult to see right now because golf has been an individual sport for hundreds of years, or not hundreds, but you know, many, many years, at least 100 plus.
Thousands.
It's hard to see this transition and this change and the benefits of this. But in the big picture, again, what I also see is like a team, let's say, is an opportunity to help young players that don't have access to the same type of support system that's necessary to be successful. And by that, I mean this. There's a lot of great young players that don't have access to the proper physical training or the proper instruction or the proper facilities needed to be their best. And as a team owner, let's say with High Flyers, years down the road, 5-10 years, I'll have a High Flyers golf course facility that I'll have world-class fitness training, world-class physical therapy, world-class instruction. And I will be able to bring in many young players and give them access to this training. And what will I benefit from it as an owner of the team? I'll have first right of refusal. So when they go out and they become a great player and they want to, they're winning majors, winning tournaments, I'll have the first right of refusal to sign him to my team. But I'll be able to bring dozens of young players in.
All right, so that was Phil Mickelson speaking to Pat McAfee, and again, courtesy of his show and ESPN. And I thought it was fascinating, at least from the perspective of it gave us a glimpse, and a considerable one at that, into and how Phil Mickelson sees this all playing out in years from now. He spoke specifically about how he said, we're all starting to work together. I'm presuming what he's talking about there is down the road, all of golf's major tours coming together with some common goals as to how things can work out. He did speak specifically and mentioned it as such that Jon Rahm signing with LIV has been a huge shift as well. It seems to me it at least is a huge shift in terms of mindset. So from the perspective of, for example, on a weekend and you're trying to figure out what you're going to watch and when, and you know me, I always say that golf is a buffet. So I love that when we have times that tournaments are being played, like we had this weekend where it was a Dubai Invitational in the morning and I was up in the middle of the night watching it right into the morning. And then later on in the evening, we got to watch the finish of the Sony Open, which we'll have more on coming up in the show today as well. I hope that happens a lot, because then you have these opportunities to watch. And if you have that opportunity with the likes of Jon Rahm and more, these huge stars on LIV, will you be drawn to watch it now? But I thought the vision from Phil was the thing that really caught me there, that I thought particularly stood out. There was another piece that really stood out in his interview as well. And to this part, he was asked about being a captain for the United States side in the Ryder Cup. It was pretty much kind of the worst kept secret at the time that Phil Mickelson was slated to be the captain for the United States Ryder Cup team when the Ryder Cup was competed, which will be the next Ryder Cup in New York at Bethpage Black. But here was Phil's response as to the prospects of the same.
I've had 12, 13 opportunities to be a part of the Ryder Cup, 12 as a player, one as a vice captain, and I've loved every minute of it and cherished those moments and those life experiences. I don't feel I'm the right guy to be involved with the team because I'm a very divisive character right now, if you will, and I understand that that the players on the PGA Tour, there's a lot of hostilities towards me, and I don't feel I'd be the best leader for them going forward. I think that as a Ryder Cup captain, you have to be kind of a unifier and have these relationships solidified and somebody that you want to follow. And right now, I've been very divisive, and I'm okay with that. I knew that was going to be the case. I knew the next couple of years that it was going to take a couple of years and that I was going to take a lot of hits and a lot of divisiveness. But I believe that it is in the best interest of the game of golf to present it a different way to a younger crowd and to try to stop a problem that is coming up quickly, which is the age demographic of our fans. I also believe that it's going to be a better thing for the professional itself to some of the things behind the scenes that I don't need to get into, the details of the pay structure and the rights of the players and so forth. I think those are going to be solved and going forward. And this is a product that brings a different element with team and so forth that I really believe in. And so I knew I was going to take some hits going forward. I'm okay with that. And as a divisive individual, I don't think I'm the best unifier going forward for the Ryder Cup. And that's fine, because I've had so many great memories with it. It's time for other people to be able to create their own memories, opportunities, and life experiences that the Ryder Cup provides.
Fascinating comments from Phil Mickelson there relative to his role in the Ryder Cup or lack of role with the United States side moving forward. It showed me a tremendous amount of self-awareness on the part of Phil Mickelson in terms of where he fits right now. I still have to believe, though, and it's not just with Phil, but for a number of the players, that when they decided to commit to LIV, I don't think that they expected that the rest of the golf so-called ecosystem, to use the phraseology that they like to use, was going to shut down opportunities for players, whether it be through World Golf Rankings or just being one that you could look to as a captain's pick would be so hard to get. So I think that probably was something that surprised them along the way. And it may be something as the turbulent waters of golf's future maybe are settling down. We shall see if that takes place, and I'll be very curious how it manifests itself in that which lies ahead. Now, that which lies ahead here on the Fairways of Life show. Still coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about the Sony Open, more about this 2024 PGA Tour Superstore Training Summit, where another one of my favorite partners we had a chance to catch up with, and that was Golf Forever, who had a major announcement to make this week. More coming up after this.
I guess, hello world, huh?
And with one subtle hello, Tiger began an amazing and unthinkable career.
I've done it for 20 years now with Bridgestone. It allows me to play an aggressive style around the greens, and it's allowed me to win a lot of tournaments.
Bridgestone Golf, proud to be part of your journey.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to boynegolf.com.
I think when you're training for other sports, or why most people go to the gym is so that they can like have muscles and, you know, be strong and be healthy. And a lot of the reason why they struggle to play golf is their body doesn't move properly for them to be able to hit a golf ball. And when you're training for golf, it's a little bit different because you're focused more on flexibility and mobility and being strong in motion. When you're able to kind of have a warm up and have a workout routine and kind of gradually build up to where you're training your body to move properly, yeah, you're going to get a lot of big dividends on the golf course.
Relax. Easy now. Find your happy place. The PGA Tour Superstore. It's all in the hips. Where every swing is possible. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find all the latest gear, apparel, and personalized club fittings.
Is this goodbye?
We've only just begun.
Shop with the pros at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
What if we started a company and the company was under no time constraints, no financial constraints? The one constraint is their clubs had to be exceptional performers and much better than any other alternative. I was told time and again, it'll never work. It worked like a house of fire. And I'll tell you what, I think our customers love it. BXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Zero Friction introduces the Wheel Pro Push Cart Golf Bag with its revolutionary 3-in-1 design, supportive legs that spring into action, a comfort grip handle with 3 locking positions, accessories for the modern golfer enhanced by 7 pockets for more storage, and removable all-terrain wheels which slide right into place. The new Zero Friction Wheel Pro Golf Bag checks every box for every golfer. Push, carry, or cart, the decision is yours thanks to Zero Friction. Head to ZeroFriction.com today.
Welcome back to the Fairways of Life show. Pleasure to have your company from wherever around the globe you are joining us today. We are here in Paris for the 2024 PGA Tour Superstore Training Summit. I cannot wait to get out there. It's right behind me. You can see some of the tents that are all set up. And as we speak, there are hundreds of associates from PGA Tour Superstores from coast to coast out there getting trained on all of this new equipment, and we will have it all for you. We'll include, as I was teasing before we went to the break, a new partner for us, and I'm very excited about with Golf Forever, and a big announcement that's coming up accordingly. As to what took place at the Sony out in Hawaii, it was a playoff finish, and there were some good putts missed by Keegan Bradley and Benny Ahm, but ultimately it was Grayson Murray who was able to etch the victory, his first since 2017. Earl Forsey and Daniel Chopra were covering the action for us on PGA Tour Radio. And gents, last week in Paradise, and it performed, it presented us with, anyway, a really entertaining finish.
Well, Matt, thanks. Aloha from Hawaii. The final week of the two-week swing through Hawaii, the Aloha State. Sony Open in Hawaii, traditional first field event of the PGA Tour season, now with the calendar year schedule back to being just that. An exciting finish on Sunday. Daniel Chopra, PGA Tour veteran, two-time winner in the PGA Tour, was alongside. Man, it was a shootout Sunday at the Sony Open, Daniel. Bunch of players going low. We had former champs involved. Keegan Bradley looked to be the man to beat late, and then all of a sudden we get in a playoff. Grayson Murray drops a birdie bomb, and he's a winner again on the PGA Tour.
It really was exciting. The leaders early on were just treading water. None of them were making birdies until that ninth hole came around. All the players that were up in front of them, they were going nuts. 7-8 under par for the round, catching up, surpassing the leaders in that final group. And then eventually, Grayson Murray, Keegan Bradley, and Ben Ahn came to the fore by a couple of mistakes by Russell Henley and Carl Yuan coming down the stretch, and then a really exciting playoff culminating with Grayson Murray's bomb at the last hole from about 50 feet with a lot of break from right to left to right. A really exciting finish.
Yeah, we get late in the day there, and you mentioned Yuan and Henley, and Henley's a former champion, and he was going low, shooting the grass off, and can't birdie 18, the par 5, and then we come through, and Keegan Bradley, who needed just birdie at 18, I say just, it's one of the easiest holes of the week, it's a par 5, I know he's thinking he should have birdied that hole, he couldn't do it, didn't do it again, made par in the playoff, and that's what opened the door. Grayson Murray birdied it in regulation to get into the playoff, birdied it in sudden death. That's why he's a winner for a second time on the PGA Tour.
Well, also he hit the two worst tee shots in regulation. He hit the worst tee shot in the group, and then in the playoff he hit the worst tee shot, yet walked away with birdie, and Keegan Bradley hit the best tee shot in the middle of the fairway and then hit it up in the grandstands, and the rest is history.
So with 2 weeks in the books now, Daniel, we had the Century of Tournament you won yourself back in 2008 for a signature event, and now the first full field event, things underway. We're back to a calendar year schedule. We're off and running, huh?
Absolutely. And I like the calendar year schedule just because of the fact that you know your schedule. You know how the seasons are going to progress. You know that the temperatures are going to get cooler as the winter comes in, and it's going to get hot in the summer. You know the golf courses and how they're going to play. You don't have this stop, kind of start feeling where you play a little bit of winter golf and a little bit of summer golf. I like this calendar season, and I think it's better for the tour.
It was a lot of fun, a lot of drama on Sunday, Matt, and we had some low scoring, and you know that's going to keep up as we head back to California stateside. You expect a birdie barrage coming up this week at the American Express.
A Tour Radio. They did a great job over the last couple weeks from Hawaii, as they always do. You can hear them on the PGA Tour app. You can hear them on PGAtour.com. Both of those are for free and available around the world, or if you subscribe to the National Satellite Service SiriusXM in North America. Now, as for Grayson Murray, the Grayson Murray that you think you know may not be the Grayson Murray who won at the Sony. What I mean by that is what are some of the ways that we feel like we get to know anyone, for that matter, but particularly athletes and in this case, golfers? It's oftentimes on social media. And if over the last few years you have been following Grayson Murray on social media, at times he could be flat out mean. At many times it seemed as though he was harboring a tremendous amount of bitterness. Well, that Grayson Murray is not necessarily the Grayson Murray who won at the Sony. What I mean by that is that he has dealt with some serious issues in his life, including his relationship with alcohol. And that has led him to this breakthrough. And here is Grayson Murray in his own words as to how everything has changed.
Yeah, it was not easy. It never is easy. It feels like, sometimes the round takes 10 hours because it's just, it's a grind out there. And, Keegan played great, and it kind of was back and forth all day. And obviously Ben posted 17 under early, and, Keegan was at 17 with one to go, and I was at 16 with one to go, and I knew I had to make a birdie to at least have a chance, and obviously hit a heck of a wedge shot in there close to get that birdie, and fortunate enough to get in that playoff. And that tee shot on 18 is not a good tee shot for a fader with the wind off the left, and you know, tug it off the tee in the playoff, and we just had to lay up, and didn't hit my best wedge shot, but you know, obviously I made the putt and was expecting both of them to make birdie, at least one of them. You never know what's going to happen in this game. This is a silly game, and hats off to Ben and hats off to Keegan for a well-played event. And, you know, unfortunately one person has to win, and that's the way it goes in playoffs, but I'm very pleased. You know, I was just so fortunate to be in that situation. I feel like, you know, I think a lot of things are going right in my life right now, and I'm at peace. And I was at peace with a 40-footer in the playoff. And, you know, I expected Ben to make it. And like I said, this game's crazy. But I knew I had to give it a chance. I wasn't going to leave it short. And, you know, obviously 100% of the putts that you leave short don't go in. So, you know, I just gave it my best stroke, and obviously it went in. But, yeah, I stayed positive, and it's all you can do, you know. I think there's so many ups and downs throughout the round, and you just got to play your game. I know it's so cliche, but it's true. You just really have to focus in on what you're trying to do, and know that you're good enough is good enough. Yeah, I mean, that putt was looking good the whole way, and you know, I'm a sucker for some good celebrations. I love making big time putts and big time moments, and I'm never gonna back down from a celebration. And obviously, you know, Ben, I'm seeing there with it, you know, he's going through his full routine and look confident, and maybe just misread it just a hair. And you know, you never want to see that. You don't want to win on a missed putt like that, but. He's playing, I think he finished, what, third or second last week or somewhere, top five. Got their highs. So he's obviously playing really good golf, and I know his win is right around the corner. Yes, I would drink during tournament weeks. It was my outlet. I thought I was invincible coming out here as a 22-year-old, winning as a rookie. Played 3 days hungover when I won. Best thing and worst thing that ever happened to me was winning my rookie year, but also feeling like I was invincible. And, you know, it took me a long time to get to this point. That was 7 years ago, over 7 years ago. And, I'm a different man now. And, I would not be in this position right now today if I didn't, you know, put that drink down 8 months ago. Yeah, I did go to rehab for a month. And, it was by choice. It was time. And, you know, the Lord was looking out for me then, and he's definitely looking out for me now. And my story's not finished. I think it's just beginning, and I hope I can inspire a lot of people going forward that have their own issues. It just goes back to my life is so good right now. I wouldn't trade anything. You know, I have a beautiful fiance, I have beautiful parents, I have beautiful nephews, siblings. You know, everyone in my life right now who's close to me, who has been through the struggles with me. It's all a team effort. And, you know, I'm not sitting here, I am sitting here alone, but all of them are part of this. And, you know, I think this is just the start of something really special, I hope. I think I would always say it out loud to kind of justify that, you know, hey, you know, hopefully if I say it out loud enough that I give up, that maybe I'll give up, then someone might say, you should, you know, maybe I was feeling a little sorry for myself. And my parents never gave up on me. So I knew that wasn't an option to give up. This game has given me a lot. It's financially, it's given me a lot. It's given me a lot to just get away from everyday life struggles. You know, it gives me comfort now on the course. I'm happy out there, and when I go home now, it's not about golf, it's about my fiance, it's about my family. And the perspective now that I have is I can't really put it into words. Yeah, that's kind of a Jimmy Valvano quote. I think he said, you know, when you get tired of fighting, let someone else fight for you. And I don't know the exact words he said, but that's kind of where I got it from. You know, he was obviously battling cancer, something that I can't fathom. And, you know, I'm sure he had days where he just felt like giving up and he couldn't go any strong anymore. And maybe his family members were pushing him to kind of just keep going, or maybe fighting for him and giving him a little more inspiration. And I think that's why he got more days out of what he, you know, the doctors probably said he did. So I really lean on that quote. At the time, it was my parents. I'm so close to my parents. You know, I think there were a couple other close friends that have seen me pretty much at my lowest. And, you know, there were days where I didn't want to get out of bed. I just thought I was a failure. I always looked at myself as a failure. I thought I had a lot of talent that was just a waste of talent. And it was a bad place. But like I said, you have to have courage. You have to have the willingness to keep going. And lo and behold, that's what I did. And you know, I'm here, and I'm so blessed, and I'm thankful. Yeah, I mean, you know, I obviously struggle with anxiety. I struggle with depression. That stemmed a lot from alcohol use. I struggle with comparing myself to others, you know, self-esteem. There's a lot of issues that I call them issues. I think they're common issues that we all endure. And I got tired of trying to fight it alone, and I asked for help one day, and that's when my life changed. I think just the way I carried myself, the way I was very, I want to say, maybe a little arrogant at times. I think the alcohol brought a side out of me that it wasn't me. It was kind of the monster in me in a way. And now that I'm super calm and I have the demeanor, and I know the people around me knew the real Grayson. I have a big heart and I care for a lot of people. But it wasn't showing, and now I feel like it's showing. I think it is, but I was humbled by that, because I felt like the guys who came out kind of my year, maybe a year in front of me, I felt like I had pretty much their talent and they took off and I didn't. So I think the arrogance, I kind of got humbled by that a little bit. But I also was a little, I would say, I'm trying to think of the word for it. I was a little jealous. I was a little jealous of the guys who came out my year before and had all that success, knowing that I was just as good as them. And you know, jealousy is not a good thing. I think we all have our own paths and we all have our own journeys and we all have our own ways of getting to where we want to be. And I'm 30 and I feel like starting now I can be the golfer that I've always wanted to be. Yeah, you know, I put down Twitter a couple years ago. I think social media can be a great thing and it can be a bad thing. I do not like to read what people have to say about me because they don't know me. Yeah. Today should be good, but you'll always be people that wish I didn't win. And, you know, for that, I'm thankful for, and for the supporters, I'm more thankful for. I feel everyone's support, and I tell my mom, don't look at Twitter, because you know I'm your son and you know who I am. You got to give yourself grace. We all make mistakes. I don't think anyone in this room has gone life without a mistake. You know, you gotta let go of the regrets. You gotta let go of the people that you've, you know, have, let down. You gotta say you're sorry and move on. And, you know, it's on them if they don't accept the apology. But going forward, I just really want to, make everyone happy and do the right things.
Incredible stuff from Grayson Murray. So happy that he was able to win. Congratulations to him. But to do it in this context of his honesty, because you know me, my feeling is that when someone comes on and they are that honest and they talk about what they've been through and how they have worked to improve themselves, somewhere, somehow, somebody that needs to hear that message is probably hearing it. And we wish them the very, very best with that as well. When we come back, a fascinating conversation. Adam Shupak had a chance to speak with Webb Simpson, yes, a member of the board. And maybe it's just the era that we're in golf right now, where for decades, golfers pretty much didn't say really anything, at least when it came to, if you please, the hanging of the dirty laundry or inside of what's actually taking place. Webb didn't hold back, and he gave us an insight, if you please, as to what might really be going on. We'll have that for you when we come back.
Relax.
Easy now. Find your happy place. The PGA Tour Superstore. It's all in the hips, where every swing is possible. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find all the latest gear, apparel, and personalized club fittings.
Is this goodbye?
We've only just begun.
Shop with the pros at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
In Ireland, golf is more than just a game. Come and experience our world-famous Lynx courses and our world-famous Parkland courses, all set alongside world-famous scenery. And visit our world-famous historic sites. And while you're here, enjoy our world-famous hospitality. Fill your heart with Ireland at ireland.com/golf.
It screams. It tracks. It's soft. It reacts. It is the Bridgestone Tour B with a game-changing reactive cover designed to spring faster off your driver and stick longer to your wedges. Try Bridgestone's Tour Bs, the Tour Ball reinvented.
The Gen 6 iron is a culmination of everything that we have learned as a team. The absolute best golf club I've ever hit. It's something special. Say hello to the new PXG Gen 6 iron. The longest, most accurate irons we've ever made. They go higher and farther than any iron that I have hit to date, and they're so easy to hit. Super excited for the consumer to try this. They're gonna love them.
PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Baseball? Nah. Football? Done it. I think I'm gonna go after the PGA Tour.
Bo, you're gonna need the right equipment company.
I think I got that.
You know, Tour Edge backs all their clubs with a lifetime warranty.
I know.
They ship all their premium custom clubs in 48 hours.
I know.
All their premium clubs are hand-built in the USA.
I know.
You know, Tour Edge has won 35 times out here.
Guys, I know.
Pound for pound, nothing comes close.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to boynegolf.com. As we welcome you back to the Fairways of Life show, we're broadcasting live this week from the 2024 PGA Tour Superstore Training Summit. And yes, we are getting a chance to see and to hit the new equipment that absolutely will define itself for the year that lies in store. Maybe it's a year in which you want to actually not only work on your golf swing, but work on your mind and work on your body. And that's what Golf Forever is all about. We're getting a chance to discuss that this week as well. You can see the people behind me, all those tents that are behind me are where all that training is going on as we speak. So Webb Simpson spoke with Adam Shupak, and Adam Shupak is a great journalist, and he has been for many, many years. And whether Webb was just in a mood to let it all go, or Adam was the conduit to give him the comfort and the trust in that environment where he felt like he could. Fascinating comments from someone that's on the inside to give us a glimpse into what is happening. Now, remember that the tour is actively courting the Strategic Sports Group. This is a group that approached them and said, you know what, we're interested in investing. Take a look and listen to what Webb Simpson had to say about aligning themselves with the Strategic Sports Group from the tour's basis. He said, quoting, number one, their bid, the amount of money they were offering, and two, The team of investors who have crazy business experience, they're owners in other sports, they know activation, entertainment, you name it, they were all there, not to mention how much they love golf, close quote, clearly explaining how and why they decided that this was a group that they want to align themselves with. He went on to say, quoting, they were very clear that they weren't making this offer because they love the PGA Tour or because they love golf in and of itself. We're doing it because we feel it's a great opportunity for us to get a return on the investment, so they said. They made me feel good that they see this as an opportunity. And they went on to say, we don't need a reshape of a ton of things, but we're in a dire situation with LIV being a threat. And for the first time ever, players are not seeing the PGA Tour as the greatest place in the world to play. They are the right group to help us bring back that image, close quote. How fascinating is that piece alone? The fact that he said that they're in a dire situation, and the fact that he said for the first time players are not seeing the PGA Tour as the greatest place in the world to play. Absolutely fascinating. As to the money on the LIV side, this board member said, quoting, greed is a very clear exposer. I'm not saying that the guys going to LIV, that they're all greedy. I'm saying when these young guys, when it's such a heavy consideration for them, I feel like this generation has missed or they don't care about the things that other generations cared about, which is the Hall of Fame, how many wins on the PGA Tour, contending in major championships. Everyone talks about the money. I believe money can't make you happy long term. It'll make you happy in the short term and not in the long term. And then finally, how about players overvaluing their worth, and is the tour business model broken? First of all, to the players, and is it overvaluing their worth? He said, quote, probably. For the amount of eyeballs in our sport, like you touched on, I think so. The amount of money we're playing for is astonishing considering how many people watch our sport. That's why I'm glad SSG is coming on board, because the way I see it, without SSG, kind of where we were, it's not sustainable to keep paying for $450 million or however much we do on tour without some kind of subtle to major shift in how we're thinking about everything. And then finally, to that question of, is the tour's business model broken? Again, another fascinating exchange. He said, quote, the model is broken at the purse sizes we've been going for the last year, and the sponsors are starting to feel it. Sponsors are pulling out. Wells Fargo, Farmers, there will probably be a couple more this year, I would think, maybe one or two. I hope not, but there's a lot of money to put up for a week, considering the price of stadiums and stadium sponsorships and all kinds of stuff. Hopefully we deliver a product where, like, I'm close with Wells Fargo people. They've been extremely happy up into having to continue to increase their purse, and they just don't feel like it was a good fit for them. So the product is really good. We've just got to sell it at the right price. We've got to be careful there. Was that not fascinating? Was that not, didn't you think, a glimpse into what is happening in the world of golf, specifically what is happening on the PGA Tour and where they see the future of the game of golf going, very much being a part of it, SSG. The other day on the show, I was asking you guys, what's the ROI? What is the return if you're going to invest billions of dollars in the game at its highest competitive level? These are very, very intelligent people, and they wouldn't be doing it unless they felt there was a pathway to that. Exactly. Thank you so much for your company on the Fairways of Life show today. It was a pleasure. We'll be back with you again right from here, live tomorrow from the PGA Tour Superstore Training Summit, when we get an opportunity to take a dive into some of the products that might very well change your game when it comes to Golf Forever, might very well change your life too. Plus, we're going to talk about some of the hard goods that I'm sure you guys are going to be coming into PGA Tour Superstores from coast to coast. Check it out. Until then, thanks for your company, and goodbye for now.